listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It's a pleasure to say we are joined for the first time in the new year, the first of many times, I hope, in its course, by Diana West, a longtime syndicated columnist, a blogger par excellence at dianawest.net, the author of two superb and well-received books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal. You can find her writings frequently at the Daily Caller, among other places, and you can always find her here. At some point in the course of the week, we're delighted to catch up with her. Diana, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to have you back, and a most happy new year to you.
Yes, happy new year to you as well.
Well, in the interval since we last talked, there have been some interesting developments. You have characterized some of them, Diana, in a piece that you've written, part one. I'm hanging on the arrival of part two, I hope any moment now, of a coup against President Trump. And specifically, you've mulled the possibility that there is a red threat running through it. Talk a bit about your conclusions in that regard.
Yes, well, this was the product of some mulling over the holidays as well, over what we'd been through. And I actually can't think of a better word to describe what seems to be revealed, this conspiracy against the incoming president, this very wide and extensive, we have evidence of a very wide and extensive plot that I think bears all the hallmarks of an attempted coup. There may be a better word, but that is the one that keeps coming back to me. We're not supposed to say it, which doesn't mean it's not true. And I think this leads to some other questions, because the transition of power in America, the presidential transition, is one of our beacons to the world in terms of the peaceful transition, the coexistence of very different political parties, the handoff of power, the cyclical handoff of power from one to the other that we've experienced over all these generations. And when we look at the machinations, the subornations, the distortions, the subversions of power inside Washington directed against this incoming first candidate, Trump, and then the incoming team, the Trump team, we are looking at something we have never, never experienced. And this, to me, suggests the need for some real cogitation about what is driving it. In other words, the normal transition of power is the outgoing party sits in exile, usually in very comfortable digs on the K Street corridor, takes a break, writes a book, comments on the networks, etc., and then returns to power in the normal course of things. What made this group panic? What made this group do unlawful things, perhaps treasonous things? I mean, this is really where we're going. So this is sort of the particular essay, which is, as you mentioned, expecting part two. And I do believe that we have to entertain the idea that this is not just Republican Democratic Party, that there is foreign influence. And so my question always, since we are been in this battle for so long, what is the ideological dimension? And that's sort of the impetus of the title, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, we will be following it with rapt attention, needless to say, because I think what you do better than just about anybody, Diana West, and what makes it such a treat to have you on the program is dot connecting, dots some of which are perfectly obvious to everybody but not connected, and an awful lot of dots that are not so obvious, that on the basis of the kind of research that made your book American Betrayal such an extraordinary contribution to our understanding of past collusions with the Kremlin, let alone, you know, what may be afoot at the moment. And what seems to me so manifest now is the deflection from all of that that we've been treated to by people who clearly were colluding with the Russians throughout the Obama presidency and arguably right to the present moment. Diana, let me turn to another issue, two of them really, that sort of reflect some of this. Insubordination doesn't really begin to describe it, does it? The efforts of H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor of the President, who, to his credit, helped put together a national security strategy that, by and large, I think is very, very good. But because it tracks with what President Trump said he was going to do when he campaigned, You were an enthusiastic supporter of him during that election. And, you know, I think partly for these reasons. And yet for the year that H.R. McMaster has been National Security Advisor, most of those policies have not been aggressively pursued. And shortly after this thing was announced, this national security strategy, H.R. McMaster was on the BBC talking about how, you know, he's critical of these irreligious terrorists, which flies in the face of what the president has said about the ideology that we're up against and Sharia specifically. Is he a case in point of the deep state, of the kind of coup that you were warning of?
Well, he's very open in terms of what he says, and it really is the president's prerogative as to whether he stays in office. I don't think he is in the sense of coup or in the sense of subversion. I actually think his openness excludes him from this particular machination that the Congress is doing such good work in terms of revealing and pressing for, and we're seeing the Justice Department essentially in open revolt against the powers of oversight that the House has.
Well, I take your point that some of what he is saying is public, but an awful lot of what he does is by its nature behind the SOGI screen of classification and the internal deliberative process of the NSC. So I think it's the visible tip of the iceberg, maybe open and public, but not so much everything else. So set aside the question of whether he's, you know, part of the coup, I do think that there is this question of whether people who work for this president are not working for this president that really requires addressing. And an example of that, again, this whole transgender issue in the military. The president's direction has been openly defied, it seems, by Jim Mattis at the Defense Department, as well as the courts.
Absolutely. Well, I agree, but this is right in President Trump's face. These are things he can control because these people do serve at his pleasure. So there is this sense of, yes, insubordination for sure. What will President Trump do about it? This becomes, I think, a different matter when you're looking, for example, at, of course, the hot book by Michael Wolff that has sort of upended all of Washington with its revelations of Steve Bannon having called Don Trump Jr.'s meeting at the Trump Tower with the Russian representatives, the lawyer, treasonous, etc., and a whole range of aides apparently giving taped interviews to this very liberal reporter, even as the administration was standing up and revealing all kinds of absolutely, I mean, to use the word inappropriate is not even possibly strong enough to just be opening their souls and their doors and their gestures and their bad language. People talk about President Trump's childishness and lack of decorum. We're seeing an entire death of the grown-up generation revealed of people working in Washington that with absolutely no filter. I mean, this is the kind of an irony of all this, because I was actually thinking in terms of what Steve Bannon was saying, which has not been, he has not called it off or refuted or in any way denied, makes Donald Trump look to be almost a picture of humility and discretion. It's actually kind of an amazing thing. So we're watching evolve kind of this revelation of truly a rebellion almost in the White House against the president from day one. So the whole thing is very upsetting, discombobulating.
We can't do further justice to it today, unfortunately, but we will have time to reflect on it and regroup next week, Diana West. In the meantime, it breaks my heart to see people that I know the country needs to help steer it at each other's throats in this fashion. And if it was from day one, the worse the tale. Diana, thank you for all that you do for God and country. Keep it up, my dear, and come back to us again next week. We'll talk next to Fred Flights about North Korea, as well as Iran, and perhaps a success in the congressional fight against the deep state. That and more straight ahead.